Good morning. As always, it's good to see you, and especially those we don't get to see so very often. We're glad that you're here. And recognizing that this is the Memorial Day holiday, we have a number that are traveling, and we knew that that would happen. And at the same time, we have those that have come our way. We're thankful for you. And we have it scheduled for the young people's class to be tonight, and those that are here, if you're not going to be able to make that for the fixing of food and so forth, if you'll let us know, we'd appreciate it. And then, as has already been mentioned, this is, we leave on Tuesday to go and be gone for 3 to 4 weeks and camp in Wyoming, and we ask for your prayers and your blessings as long as we go that way. That, as I look at some of this, seeing you is good. You know, I mean, after we've been talking about what we've been talking about on at the time of Joshua and the judges and the things that are going on that way and the children of Israel and not caring about God and what God has said, and then we come and I look out and look who's here. It's good. I'm glad. And yet as I consider that and consider them, actually, that makes me think like this, is that what would it take to raise us another notch? To raise your faith another notch? What would that take? Would we need to see a miracle? Because it seems as though they needed to see a miracle again each time. And so as we think about some of those things and what goes on, Where is that next moment going to come from, and how's that going to be? And so we've been discussing for off and on for a few weeks about the ideas of things that happen, and Jesus, with his understanding, as he's trying to give that understanding to men, they don't understand. As Terry mentioned this morning, not even the apostles really understand. But they're going to come to understanding. And so we have this story that is one of the great stories, as far as I'm concerned, about lowering the man through the roof. Let's read it again. When he had come back to Capernaum several days afterwards, it was heard that he was at home, and many were gathered together, and so that there was no longer room, not even near the door, and he was speaking the word to them, and they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and when they had dug in an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." But some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "So why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive his sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, aware of his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves, said to them, "Why are you reasoning about things in your heart, these things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, pick up your pallet and walk?' But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on the earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, get up, pick up your pallet and go home.' And he got up and immediately picked up the pallet and went out of the sight of everyone. So they were all amazed and glorifying God, saying, 'We have never seen anything like this.'" And so as we consider this story, we recognize what's just been said and the faith of the men that bring the paralytic, and the dedication they have to see into it that he gets healed. And that as we work down through this, Jesus does what Jesus does in saying the thing you don't expect him to say. Instead of saying, "Be healed," he says, "Your sins are forgiven." Now, you have to ask yourself, you know, why, but and you can come to your own ideas, but then he gets called out on that, okay, not by what was said, but by the look on their faces, not just the look. He knows what they're thinking. "Why are you reasoning that I can't say it that way? Which is easier to say?" Do you think it's words that heals a paralytic man? No, we know it's not words. Okay, did they think that words would heal a paralytic man? No, they know that too. What heals the paralytic man? Power. Okay, and so as he does that, and he says, okay, who can forgive sins but God alone? And no man can act like this. That's really what's going on. You can't act like you're God because you're not God, you're human. And he says, of course, I have done this that you may know that the Son of Man can forgive sins on the earth. And so, an aha moment. Another one of those moments where I didn't think that that was so. And some of them still don't believe that that is so until the paralytic gets up and walks away. And when he walks away, now we have a whole different thing going on. And here you've been reasoning in your heart, and why? Because you're not here to learn. You're not here to hear the words of God. You're not here for the things of God. You're here to see if I mess up, that you can accuse me. And so, what is the reason for that? Is that pride? Is that jealousy? Is that loss? Do they hate the idea that they don't understand everything like they thought they did? What is it that does that? And their reasoning being faulty, it cannot be that this is what's going on. And then he makes the statement, and your sins are forgiven. But he says, get up and walk. Everybody gets it. Everybody, the uneducated, get it. He said, get up and take your pallet and walk. The man was paralyzed. You don't get up from that. And yet, here he is and he's done it. And now that you may know these things. And so the crowds marvel, saying, wow, wow. We have never seen anything like this. So as I put myself in that crowd, would you believe or would you not believe? That becomes the question. And of course we believe because we're reading the story, but I'm asking you this question. Do we limit God? You see, they had an aha moment because he does something they don't expect him to be able to do. He has an aha moment. Look at what God can do, what God can do, and who is this man who doesn't talk like everybody else does, and we see it. Okay, so now then, let's go to Matthew, the 8th chapter. And when he got in the boat, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great storm in the sea, so that the boat was being covered with waves. But Jesus himself was asleep. And they came to him and woke him, saying, save us, Lord, we're perishing. And he said to them, why are you afraid, you men of little faith? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and they became perfectly calm. And the men were amazed and said, what kind of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? So, if that's what happens, do you believe that happened? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you believe that that happened? That Jesus can make the wind and the waves obey him? If any of you have ever been on the sea when there's a storm, you know there's a fear factor. There's a lot of things that God does. Mine is mainly with lightning, but it's okay that you have been made afraid by nature that God can stop it just like that, that these things go on, okay? And I'm asking you this question then. Do you believe that Jesus, the Son of God, can still the wind and the waves of a stormy sea? And we would say yes. Okay? But you've never been there. You've never seen him do it. So why do you believe? Why do you believe? God creates the heaven and earth. Do you believe he did that? And if so, why do you believe? It is this question, and there are parameters with it, and then I want us to understand that we either do, we believe and we reason, do we not? So how is it that reasoning, he calls it into question, why will you not believe? You just saw what I did, but you don't believe. You're reasoning. Why are you reasoning when you should believe? And I'm asking that same question of us. Why do we not just simply believe? Or do we reason? I've had an example just recently that reminds me of me when I was younger. I, being a science major, a zoology major, and all that kind of stuff, and have a lot of science behind me, think that God has worked through science to do the makings and the whatever it may be, and I tried to blend science and God. But God is above science. He doesn't have to use it. He can do whatever he wants to do. And getting to that place, you see, it isn't that it worked that way, because I kept finding things that can't happen. If science is God's working through it, then it wouldn't be that way. No. God works, and it is how it is. Okay, so while we're there, our reasoning includes that the world cannot just happen. My number one reason for believing that is just taking a look at the complication of the whole thing. How complicated the animal world is. How complicated the plant kingdom is. How intricately that gets to. And if you get down into the chemistry of what goes on in bodies and plants and all that kind of, and that two systems that are so complicated we can't really talk about it, came together at the same time, and you tell me that just happened. I'm sorry. I know what I don't believe as well. I don't believe it just happened. It shows a design. All right, and so as we're in that, if our reasoning offers that I cannot stop the wind and the waves, and neither can any other human, then I don't believe that Jesus is who he says he is. Because no one can do that. So something's got to give. Either I'm going to give up that God can do anything, and because he can do anything, yes, he can do those things, okay, or I don't believe that there is a God. And we have people that believe that way. And if you doubt God, I'm asking you a question, what else, who else do you doubt? Would you doubt your parents for teaching you about God and say that I can't answer a question and so all that they taught me is not so? Would you say that about your teachers or your preachers or the politicians or everybody that you meet, that I can trust no one and I don't believe anything that anybody says anymore? And you realize that in our society it's getting to be that way, that we've had people that have lied so often that we don't believe anything that we hear, even when we hear the truth. And therefore, we must measure for ourselves. And so, I want you to see that it is our hearts that determine our reasoning. So then, what's wrong with the heart of a scribe? That they would reason among themselves while seeing what just happened. And then you ask yourself, do I have the right heart? In Mark 10, and they were bringing children to him so that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Permit the children to come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." And he took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands on them. Now then, what is it that children have that we don't have? And I think that it's a good question. What is it that they have that they can believe that the kingdom of God is like unto them? Okay, because they have the ability to believe what is imagined. Now I happen to like this picture because those ships are not the ships used anymore. But I can imagine what it would have been like to sail on a ship like this. Maybe he's remembering. I don't know. But you see what I'm saying? The children actually let their imagination move them as if it is real. So, when they play like they're adults, is it real? Yeah. They see what they've seen their parents do. They do those things. Okay. And so when I do that, they believe. They believe based on what they've seen. They believe in the things that are there. They believe easily. Has the doubts of life gotten you where you don't believe? I think that sometimes it does. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls, and upon finding one of great value, he went and sold all that he had and he bought it. Do you have that? Do you have that the thing that is most valuable in this life would be to have eternal life? That life that is good, a good and righteous life, is better than any other life that you can have. It is better than having a lot of money. It is better than having a lot of things. It is better than having position. It is better, it is better, it is better. Would you believe that your integrity matters more than anything you possess? And we all say yes. It's buying the pearl, you see. That's what we're doing. And so, do you see yourself then as accepting miracles and the teachings and the parables and the mission of Jesus with no doubts? Do you accept that? It's a real question. Do you accept the responsibility of following him because your heart drives you to? That I need to be all that Jesus was. I need to be like he is. I need to know who God is. And by the knowing of God, that I have a dedication toward the things of God. Though you balk at some of the challenges, because do you try anyway or do you quit before you ever started? Do you see that we need the same aha moments as the ones who saw the paralytic man and said, "We've never seen anything like this"? You see? So then how do you continue to have aha moments then when you become an adult? When you've read the Bibles many times, and the parables are so well known you could recite them and know the stories and the details. What has happened to the wonder of Jesus? That's what I'm asking about. Has it become embedded in a story, and so that we're not amazed anymore by the thing that happened? What has gone on? As our curiosity, you see, it needs to continue. And our interest must move forward and toward the sharing of the gospel and watching someone else get that aha moment. When they see for the first time that God is real and that they want to respond to that. And whatever you would have me do, I will do. I want to see that. I want to see that again. I can live it again because I've shared that. And so, we get those. And I want you to think about this. That evangelism is not the idea of teaching someone else the gospel. It's the idea of sharing what you know and sharing your aha moments with someone else. It is about telling why you believe that God is. It is about telling how you overcame things that have troubled you that God doesn't approve of because of what you've learned. It consider what love is, that it's not giving someone else a moment of pleasure because they have given you pleasure, but just because they're there. Do you understand? When someone gives you their time, they gave you a gift. Isn't love the sharing of laughter and crying together? And that the experiences of the ups and the downs of life are made better for the care of the one that you're with, because we have someone to share with. And so I ask you this question. Can you love a stranger? Oh, I know we're told to, but can you? Do you care enough about someone you do not know? You see, we're supposed to get to the place where we're able to do that I will love them. But to do so takes viewing a stranger as possibly your next best friend. That I don't look at someone that's a stranger as someone that is an enemy because the news says so. I look at people differently because of Jesus Christ. I look at people differently because of an attitude that is different and the one who shared with me. And when they did, they opened and changed my life. That there are aha moments with people just like there are aha moments in finding God. And it is so wonderful to watch. And so, as we bring this to a close, I want you to consider an idea. And that is to go out this week and talk to somebody you don't know. You bring it up. Take a risk. See how they respond. And it may be good, it may not. But sharing is a wonderful thing. Who are we going to be? Who's the Chipley Church of Christ going to be by the way we stand? And I'm going to tell you, it's got to be in this day and time, the difference in how we treat men. If you're not a Christian, all things are ready that you may become one. And I would invite you to do so. And if not, and we can help you because you have a need, won't you let us come as we stand and sing?